Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, my argument addresses the citizen's duty tied to a defendant's fair cross-section right and the complete absence of justification for exempting any woman. Though Jackson County jury panels are dominated by men, the Missouri Supreme Court said that the right affected is unimpaired. That reasoning, in two key respects, is topsy-turvy. First, the right central in this case, the right secured by the Sixth Amendment, is the criminal defendant's, here Billy Duren's, right to a fair chance for a jury genuinely representative of the community's complexion. And second, the vaunted woman's privilege, viewed against history's backdrop, simply reflects and perpetuates a certain way of thinking about women. Women traditionally were deemed lesser citizens.
That wouldn't concern Mr. Duren, would it?
Mr. Duren has a right to a jury drawn from a panel reasonably representative of the community.
Yes, and he wouldn't be interested in the factor you mentioned, whether this is fair or unfair to the women called for jury service or not called.
But that was the traditional justification given by states, first for excluding women altogether, and then the second step was providing an exemption for any woman, the notion being that the women are not really needed, not really wanted for participation in the democratic processes of government. Viewed in that light, this is hardly a privilege. This is hardly a favor to the supposedly favored class. But as to the core right at stake, Judge Seiler, dissenting below, pointed out that a defendant's fair cross-section right can be meaningful only if it hinges on a correlative duty, the duty of the citizen to show up for jury service when summoned. A privilege to avoid service at whim, prominently advertised and readily available to any woman or any man or any other large, stable, distinctive population group, debases a defendant's cross-section right. That right is real only when the obligation to serve is placed on citizens without automatic exemption based solely on their race, national origin, or sex.
I take it that very few doctors serve on juries in Missouri state courts, as is true in most states. Would you regard that as
exemptions that apply on the basis of one's occupations reflect determinations by the state that certain occupations, for the good of the community, should be pursued uninterrupted. And it makes no difference whether a person is male, female, black, or white. It's the neutral, functional category that is excluded: doctor, lawyer, dentist, clergy.
Would that preclude a state from saying that, without getting into that old cliche about women's places in the home, if the state said, in effect, mothers of small children should belong at home, not serving on juries? Now, suppose it were narrowed to housewives with children under 16.
Would
you still have the same problem?
There are several states that have exemptions for persons primarily responsible for the care of young children.
So that would be husbands or wives?
It could be husband or wife, yes. But by using the term, assuming that it will be the woman here, or in a more general, any woman excuse, the state is providing an ineludible message that the male citizens are counted by government as the essential participants in the administration of justice, but the female citizens are not so counted. Their service is expendable. I would like to stress,
Mrs. Ginsburg, may I ask you a question? If we look at it from the point of view of the defendant, and you take the view, as I think you do, that men and women are essentially fungible for purposes of jury service, how is the cross-section hurt if women are excluded?
That was an issue that the Court addressed in Taylor against Louisiana. Yes, men and women are persons of equal dignity, and they should count equally before the law, but they are not the same. There are differences between them that most of us value highly. This court said twice, first in Ballard against the United States, and then in Taylor against Louisiana, that there is a certain quality that will certainly be missing from that jury.
What is the relevant difference between men and women for purposes of jury service from the point of view of the defendant?
What is the is that indefinable something?
That sounds kind of like a stereotyped
answer. I think that we perhaps all understand it when we see it and when we feel it, but it is not that easy to describe. Yes, there is a difference. In any event, Missouri's insistence that 9% to 15% representation of women is quite enough, although it is an exorbitant argument, is understandable, for the state to this day has urged no justification whatever for exempting any woman. Missouri makes no claim that this women's excuse is even minimally rational, though to overcome a defendant's Sixth Amendment right, as Taylor held, merely rational grounds would not suffice. The court said in Taylor that it is untenable to suggest it would be a special hardship for a woman to perform jury duty simply because of her sex. Post-Taylor, then, a woman's work, whether at home or on the job, and the administrative convenience of treating all women as expendable, these are not even arguable bases for diminishing the defendant's Sixth Amendment right by diluting the quality of community judgment a jury trial provides. Moreover, eliminating the exemption for any woman clouds no reasonable jury service exemption. Only two states, Missouri and Tennessee, today maintain a solely sex-based exemption. Other Missouri exemptions are tied to occupation, prior service, individual hardship, not to an unalterable identification each of us is marked with at birth, an identification bearing no necessary relationship to one's capacity or life situation, and therefore inherently unreasonable as a basis for jury duty avoidance. In sum, no sense at all nourishes Missouri's solely sex-based exemption implemented by Jackson County's prominent invitations to any woman to sign off, and the jury commissioner's assumption from a woman's inaction that she doesn't want to serve. Habit, yes, surely not analysis or actual reflection, accounts for an excuse based simply on a woman's sex and not on what she does or is capable of doing. Finally, the court's 8-1 judgment in Taylor leaves no room for the Missouri argument that Billy Jordan must show how he, in particular, might have been disadvantaged by violation of the fair cross-section requirement. Selection of a criminal trial jury from a representative cross-section, the court held in Taylor, is an essential component of a defendant's Sixth Amendment right. Neither Missouri nor this court is at liberty to apply or dispense with the cross-section rule based on the view of prosecutor or of judge of the strength of the evidence against a defendant. Full respect for the cross-section command is required of the state because the constitutional safeguard is guaranteed to all, and it may be relied upon by every person, the most low and the least deserving, to the same extent as the most upright and virtuous.
Professor Ginsburg, somewhere in these briefs, the opposing briefs, is a suggestion that if Mr. Dern prevails here, the Missouri jailhouse doors might be open. Do you have any comment? What is your response to that suggestion?
I think it's certainly the case that this objection is available only to the defendants who have properly raised it below and pursued it on appeal. Moreover, it would be relevant only in the case of Jackson County. That questionnaire and that summons in the record that flags and signals repeatedly that women may take themselves off, those are used only in Jackson County and no other county in Missouri. So I would say we are talking about one county only, about trials post this court's decision in Taylor against Louisiana, and only in cases where the objection has been properly raised and pursued under Missouri law.
Do you know what the follow-through in the Louisiana case was?
Yes. Billy Joe Taylor was retried and reconvicted.
But was that ruling specifically held not retroactive?
You held that it was not retroactive.
And so the result is that the Louisiana jails were not open. And you think this would follow here
in,
also?
In Taylor against Louisiana, you overturn a fairly a 1961 precedent, Hoyt against Florida.
But you would think, you would argue, I suppose, that Taylor mandated invalidation of the Missouri law.
Well, I certainly think so.
And that this ought to go back at least to Taylor.
At least, yes. Yes. Although that's not necessarily part of the case that's here today, yes, that was the message that New York got, and other states, all states except Missouri and Tennessee, got that message. To conclude, the unconstitutionality of Missouri's excuse for any woman as it operates to distort Jackson County jury panels is plainly established. Any sensible reading of this record, juxtaposed with this court's 8-1 judgment in Taylor, leads ineluctably to that conclusion.
You won't settle for putting Susan B. Anthony on the new dollar.
I think you have no jurisdiction to make that concession, Mrs. Ginsburg. Thank you. Ms. Laurie?
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, I think there are three issues that we have to address here. First of all, does Missouri's jury selection system systematically exclude women, which I believe is what was held in Taylor versus Louisiana to be unconstitutional if it resulted in jury panels which are almost totally male? I think we also have to find out what degree of disparity must be proven in order to make out a violation of the Sixth Amendment. And I think there's also a question as to the allocation of the burden of proof in these cases. I will first address the question as to whether Missouri's jury selection system systematically excludes women. I think there is a distinct factual difference between our system and the Louisiana system, in that in Louisiana, women were not included in the jury wheel unless they took affirmative action. There was an assumption that they were not interested. In Missouri, on the other hand, women are treated at the inception of the process in exactly the same way as are men. The voter registration lists are used, and names are selected at random from those lists, and questionnaires are sent out.
Are you suggesting that they are generally in the category of physicians and others whose conceded by, I think, your friends on the other side of the table was a permissible exclusion on the part of the state for reasons of public policy?
I think an exemption does not exclude women or doctors. It gives them the opportunity not to participate if they choose.
Whether you call it exemption or exclusion, since it gives the women the opportunity to get off the jury more readily than it gives other people, carpenters and bookkeepers, then why is it different? Do you suggest it is essentially the same as that dispensation given to physicians? Is that part of your
yes,
argument?
Yes, Your Honor. It is essentially the same as any exemption which the state of Missouri affords.
Well, is it true that the woman has two? A woman doctor has two exemptions.
That is correct, Your Honor.
And you don't see anything wrong with that.
I think it is wrong if there is a violation of the Sixth Amendment. I don't think the question is whether the fact that we give women a special privilege is wrong. I think it's a question of whether, as a result of that, Billy Durant's Sixth Amendment rights were violated.
Well, isn't that the direct result of it having only 0.9 women on the jury, the direct result of the Missouri practice?
Your Honor, we would submit that no, it is not, and the petitioner has not shown it to be.
What would cause it? Well, you have 54% population, what would make it possible to have such a small amount that serve on juries?
Your Honor, we do not believe that it is the obligation of the state to show why there were so few women on the jury, but rather that the burden of proof is on the petitioner.
If you are unreasonably requested to do so, can you?
No, Your Honor, because
you can't justify it, can you?
What do you mean by justification?
What the word says.
The reduction in the number of women available or the reason for the exemption?
The reason for the exemption, one.
One, no. The exemption originally was given because of the presumed role of women in the home and that there were so many women in that situation that they should be given an exemption. Also, there was some intimation that women should be given a choice as to whether they wanted to participate in the selection of juries where certain details might be described that they were uncomfortable in hearing.
And at a time when they weren't even qualified to vote.
Yes, Your Honor, that is true. And I think this Court in the past has characterized those as...
Or to make contracts?
Yes, Your Honor. And I think...
They just couldn't do anything but 10 homes.
I think the question, Your Honor, is not whether we can justify the exemption, because we only need to justify the exemption once it has been shown to be a violation of the Sixth Amendment and once it has been shown to operate in such a way that there are so few women on the jury panel that it is no longer fairly representative of the community. And it is our belief that the figures in this case are sufficient to show that there was a fair cross-section of women on the community, on the panel. We would point to the fact that there were 29% women on the master jury wheel, even after women were given the opportunity to fill out the questionnaire and take their exemption. There was still 29% women, which is three times more than the situation in Taylor versus Louisiana. There were 15 times more women on the veneers than there were in Taylor versus Louisiana. In Taylor, you stated that it would be a violation if it was shown that the exemption or the exclusion resulted in almost totally male panels. We submit to you that almost totally male is not an accurate characterization of the panels which tried Billy Duren and which are used in Jackson County, Missouri. As I said before, I agree that what once were justifications for our exemption may be outmoded and archaic. And yet it seems to me that the basis of the petitioner's position is that Billy Duren somehow was deprived of a fair and impartial trial because the undefinable something that distinguishes men and women, I submit that is equally outmoded and archaic, and not a basis for finding a violation of the defendant's Sixth Amendment.
Didn't Taylor say so?
Yes, Your Honor. Taylor did say so.
Taylor is based on an outmoded stereotype, is what you're saying. Is that your argument? I think it is.
I submit that that is a fact. I think an important question here also is where the burden of proof is going to be allocated in these cases. In other cases which are pending before this Court on petitions for cert, you are aware that there has been evidence introduced to show that the reduction from 54% to 29% on the jury wheel was the basis of the questionnaires and the exemption for women. This, however, is not in the record before this Court, and we submit that it should not be considered by this Court since it was not considered by the Missouri Supreme Court in making of their decision. Even, however, if you do consider that evidence, there is still no explanation for the diminution of the amount of women from 29% to 15%, because we submit that if a woman has a right to check the questionnaire and say, I don't want to serve, and she doesn't, then we can't assume that she's later when she's called to serve, going to say, well, the only reason I'm not interested in serving is because I am a woman. And there is no proof in the record here as to why women were excused for cause by the judge, as evidenced in the tables, which are in the appendix.
Ms. Lowry, let me get back for a moment, if I may, to your comment about the outmoded stereotype in response to Justice Stevens' question. Actually, lawyers who pick juries operate largely on stereotypes, don't they? In the sense that people of certain nationalities are believed to award higher personal injury verdicts than others, and others types are supposed to be more favorable to criminal defendants, others kind of hard-hearted and favorable to the prosecution. There may be very little to them, to the stereotypes. Perhaps they're not justified, but certainly a lot of lawyers use them in picking juries and using their peremptory challenges.
That may be, Your Honor. I don't know, is there a question?
You say, in effect, that it didn't make any difference to Billy Duren that there weren't that many women on the jury, because there really isn't much. The concept that women would react differently than men is outmoded. Or did I misinterpret
your answer? No, that was correct, Your Honor. I think, though, that when we're talking about a violation of the Sixth Amendment and saying that he did not have a fair and impartial trial, that and not allowing the state of Missouri to justify their exemption on the basis of outmoded and archaic ideas, it seems inconsistent to rely on those kinds of ideas to fashion the Sixth Amendment violation. I'd like to discuss the question of burden of proof for a minute, as it relates to the reduction of women from 29 to 15% and from 54 to 29%. The Solicitor General would like this court to say that there's some kind of a prima facie case made out when you show a non-neutral selection process and you show underrepresentation. And they try to relate this to the situation in which this court has found discrimination and exclusion of a particular group from a jury on the basis of a lower representation of that group and a non-neutral selection process, a subjective selection process, and have shifted the burden to the state. We submit that there is no reason to make such an allocation of the burden of proof in these cases because of the fact that the same situation is simply inapplicable here that is applicable in a discrimination case. When you're talking about trying to point at some place in a subjective process where discrimination has occurred, it is impossible for the defendant to go into that process and find out at what point that happens. And therefore, there's a reason for developing these rules about the prima facie case and shifting the burden of going forward with the evidence to the state. We submit that there is no similar reason here, that there is nothing in our process which makes it easier for the state to show why it is not the exemption for women than it is for the defendant to show that it is the exemption for women that results in the underrepresentation. As evidenced by the fact that they have counted the questionnaires, they have found out the reason as far as other cases go.
Suppose it was thought that a prima facie case had been made out. What's the state's strongest argument in justification? Or do you have one?
Are you talking about justification for the exemption?
Yes, for treating women different than men in terms of excuse.
We recognize that women still play a primary role in the home, and that even though women may in fact be working mothers, does not mean that they have been relieved of the responsibilities of their obligations to the home or to their family, and that just because they work is not a sufficient reason for saying that they no longer carry the responsibilities that they were once thought to have.
Is that You think that's a legislative decision?
The justification for this exemption? I don't know what the legislative justification was. We do not have any evidence. I submit that that is the strongest justification that the state of Missouri can make for the exemption.
Well, under McGowan against Maryland, if there was any rational reason for it, we'd give that considerable weight, I suppose, would we? Should we?
Yes, but again, it's not an equal protection case. I don't think the question is whether our exemption is good or bad. It's a question of whether it fits into the mold of Taylor versus Louisiana. And in Taylor versus Louisiana, there were certain statements about what made out a violation of the Sixth Amendment. There had to be systematic exclusion of women. We submit that there was not exclusion of women here because we did not assume that they were not going to serve on juries merely because they did not opt into the jury selection process. I would like to point to one place in the petitioner's reply brief that I think is an inaccurate characterization of the fact. On page 3, they indicate that if women do not return their questionnaires and do not respond to the jury service summons, it is assumed that they will that they do not want to serve, and that is not true. If a woman does not return her questionnaire, she is automatically put in the pool from which juries are selected. Second part of that statement is true. If a woman does not respond to the summons, they do assume that she's going to exercise her right to an exemption. But I think there's a distinct difference between a process which at the beginning does not include women in the jury selection system, and a process at the end, which does not send the police out to arrest women because they may use their exemption, is a distinct factual difference. I think also if you look at the statistics in the appendix and the tables which the petitioner has provided, you will see that the number of women who do not respond to summons is insignificant in comparison to the number who have appeared for jury duty, who are excused and for other reasons. And end up appearing on the jury wheel.
What happens to a man who does not respond to the summons?
The testimony is that the police will make an attempt to find out why he has not responded.
Well, if they find out, there is a distinction
at that point.
And he tells the police, "I just didn't want to serve. That's the reason I didn't respond." Then what happens to him?
He is subject to being held in contempt of court. Now, in the record in this case, there is no great discussion about how many men, in fact, are found to be held in contempt of court or whether they do anything about it. I would point you, however, to a footnote in the petitioner's reply brief at page 2, footnote 1, when they talk about the St. Louis jury system and state that if we were to amplify, we would indicate that in St. Louis, they do not assume from the fact that women do not answer the summons that they do not want to serve. In talking with Mr. Ruland, who is the author of the authority which they cite, the situation in St. Louis is that for a period of time, they experimented and they went out and tried to find out why people did not show up. And if a woman did not show up, they did nothing to her in exactly the same way as in Jackson County.
Jackson County, Kansas City?
Jackson County is Kansas City, Missouri.
How many counties are there in Missouri?
Your Honor, I do not have the answer to that question. There are more than 100. Jackson County, Missouri, of course, is one of the largest population areas.
So a case based on statistics from Jackson County, although it would affect a substantial number of people in Missouri, would not be determinative of other convictions obtained in other counties, I take it.
I think that is certainly the import of Taylor, is that it is only when it results in an underrepresentation in a particular case. And if it doesn't result in underrepresentation in St. Louis or Boone County, does that mean that, you know, the exemption is still valid?
So a federal habeas judge sitting in the Western District of Missouri may be scanning convictions of, if the Supreme Court of Missouri is reversed here, 50 different counties, and he's going to have to get evidence as to the functioning of the jury system in each of those counties before he can decide.
Well, that's true, Your Honor, but we would submit that even if the Missouri Supreme Court were reversed in this case, that this is not a situation that should be made retroactive, that we think that the rules which were applicable in Taylor versus Louisiana are equally applicable in this case for two reasons. Number one, because of the factual distinctions between Taylor versus Louisiana and the situation in Missouri. We do not think that Taylor is so dispositive of the question that we can just say this is an application of Taylor. We submit that it is an extension of the rationale in Taylor, largely because it's based on statistics. We never know what is going to be a fair cross-section of the community, Your Honors. We know that 1% is too small. And we know that 54% would be an exact mirror. We never know where in between that the Sixth Amendment violation occurs. And therefore, to say that it's merely an application of Taylor, I do not think is correct. And before you have stated in Daniels and in Stovall versus Deno the standards that you want to consider when you're deciding whether something is retroactive or not. Two of the standards, in addition to our reliance on prior law, would be the interest that the constitutional provision was intending to protect. And as you stated in Daniel, you're not submitting that Billy Dern was prejudiced in any way, that, you know, it may not have made one iota of difference to Billy Dern whether there were women in his pool or on his jury or whatever. So there's not the kind of inherent prejudice and problems that would be where a defendant is denied the right to an attorney during the process of a trial.
Are you hinting at a harmless error, even assuming all that your friends say that it's harmless error?
No, Your Honor. We, of course, submit that we do not think that there is any prejudice in this case.
I wondered whether you were making an alternative argument that this is harmless error, even if otherwise.
No, I'm saying that if you decide that it was error and it was unconstitutional and you're considering whether it is retroactive or not, you look at the question of what did the constitutional provision protect. And in Daniels, you indicated that what the Sixth Amendment fair cross-section protects is not of the kind that would necessitate a retroactive application. The third most important thing is what happens if you make this retroactive. The petitioner has tried to minimize the effect that it would have on the administration of justice in Jackson County by saying that it is only one county in Missouri. I'm sure that this court is aware of that half the population in the state of Missouri is in the metropolitan Kansas City area, and that there is going to be a substantial undermining of the administration of justice in Jackson County, Missouri.
And what percentage of the convicts who were convicted in Jackson County, what percentage of those are still in, who've been convicted since Taylor are still there?
Your Honor, we, of course, do not have those statistics at this time. You are aware, though, of how many petitions for cert have already been filed in this court, that they are in limbo at this time, that the petitioner can certainly tell you that there is certainly more than 150 cases in which this issue has been raised and in which the statistics have been made out. And one of the issues that you indicated that you would consider in Stovall versus Deno and in Daniels versus Louisiana is the effect on the administration of justice, and to make the state of Missouri retry all of those cases would have a devastating effect on the administration of justice in our state.
Daniels against Louisiana was the case that held the Taylor doctrine not retroactive.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Is it cited in your brief?
No, it is not. We did not discuss it.
Do you remember the citation, 400 and something, 15?
I do not have the citation with me.
Okay. Dr. Taylor, 420-something.
If there are no further questions, thank you very much.
Well, do you have anything further, Mr. Nation? Seem to have, there seems to be a disagreement on the factual situation between you and the state about the women who do not return their questionnaires. She says they are automatically put in. You said they were automatically out.
The statement made in our reply brief was that women who do not return the questionnaires and who do not follow the request of the summons do not appear for jury service.
That isn't quite the way you put it in your oral argument. I think there was a little
It was
difference.
Something like that in the brief. That yes, and that's the reason that the wheel is as high as it is. That's the reason that there is 29% women on the wheel, is because if they don't return the questionnaire, they're put onto the wheel, and then they opt off when they receive the summons. I'm not sure what we could further prove prior to trial to prove a case. I believe under the precedence of this court, a prima facie case has been made. We showed a non-neutral selection procedure, and we showed marked underrepresentation of women. Now it is incumbent upon the state to come up with some reasonable explanation. And attributing the fact that 14.5% of jury panels could possibly be random chance or something else, the possibility of that happening is infinitesimal.
You don't claim the Missouri statute, though, is unconstitutional. In all situations, it has to be accompanied by your Jackson County statistical showing.
Well, under Taylor, you have to prove that there is an exemption and that there is underrepresentation. No statute is per se unconstitutional, but in its effect here in Jackson County, it is. Further, the only
that
reason
is because of your statistical showing, as well as because of the practices and procedures in Jackson County?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The exemption is the same for other counties in the state, but other people hide the exemption from their women.
In a specific case, could this ever, in your view, be harmless error?
Only in a case where there is absolutely no question of credibility for the jury. In any case where the jury has to determine the credibility of witnesses, it is impossible to say that it's harmless error or harmless constitutional error.
Well, what if a defendant on the stand under cross-examination, as has happened in some cases, testified in a way that added up to essentially a judicial confession of the crime? Would you think that would be the kind that could be harmless error?
Well, Your Honor, as a criminal defense lawyer, I have occasionally had instances where my client the only reason we're at trial is not to contest the facts, but to try and receive a light sentence, because in Missouri, the jury sentences. And it's my experience that women are much more sympathetic towards defendants than men are. So in that instance, even in that situation,
they're not fungible.
I don't think they're fungible.
I think you're going to get in a lot of trouble, because that wasn't my experience.
There is, I don't know how many, there are seven, I believe, petitions for certiorari on this issue before the court, and I have nowhere near 150 cases. I'm not sure what the number is. But we believe, as far as retroactivity, that this case falls squarely under Taylor, and that anyone who raised it prior to trial, introduced evidence, requested the court to quash the jury panel and give him a reasonably representative jury at trial, should be afforded a new trial. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted.